Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is What's Coming and What Should We Do? Okay, before we start the show, for those of you who have not heard, Just Praise Him radio is not on, quote, real radio as of this week. The radio network I had contracted with canceled Just Praise Him radio on Tuesday. They said it was a decision of management. I'm believing the Lord to bring good out of this and to bless them as they go on blessing others. Just Praise Him radio will continue, obviously, to be on Podbean, like where you're getting this, and other areas like TuneIn, Stitcher, and Acast. I'm trying to get it into iTunes, but it's been really busy and frozen up. Okay. Because I receive so many emails about what's going on in the world and what's coming, and, you know, what should we be doing, I'm going to try to address that in this show. Everybody can tell. You know, I mean, we all know absolute chaos has erupted with all the protests and the riots going on, people getting injured and killed, businesses being burned down, and all manner of evil happening. So we want to talk about what does this mean for us? What does this mean that this is happening in our world? And nobody seems to be, you know, making it stop. So let's talk about this, and let's talk about some of the things the Lord has told us and what we see in His Word and see if we can make some sense of it, okay? Okay, way worse chaos than what we're seeing right now is coming. I don't say that to scare you, but we're going to keep it real here. Y'all know I'm going to keep it real. There is no one on earth that has seen, you know, the news of the riots and the coronavirus in America that does not realize something has changed. Something has changed. We are staring down the barrel at the tribulation. It has not started yet, don't get me wrong. But all around us are signs of the end. I wish so much my sister Judy was still alive because all she studied was the book of Revelation. During her whole walk, she was so fascinated with prophecy. And back then, I was a new Christian and I had interest none in knowing any of that because that book of Revelation scared me to death. But if she were here, I could ask her questions so she would know the answer. She'd probably be able to give me chapter and verse. Okay, so there are things in the Word of God that it told us 2,000 plus years ago that were coming in the time of the end. Okay, it's very important to read the Word every day. For any unbelievers who are hearing me for the first time, did you know that there are a number of top-notch scholars who set out to prove that the crucifixion of Jesus and His resurrection was a lie, and that they all ended up believing instead? You can read their stories yourself. My favorite one is The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. His wife got saved, and she was just warding him to death about Jesus. And here he is. He's a Harvard-educated lawyer, and he was working for the Chicago Tribune as a journalist. Journalist and law, you both deal just with the facts. You don't deal with anything else. You deal only with facts. And so he set out to disprove her faith. That kind of backfired on him because when it was all done, he said at that point that it was going to take more faith to maintain his atheism than to become a Christian. So he laid down his pencil and he gave his life to Jesus. Okay, moving right along. I just wanted to throw that out there. I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is all of us who belong to Jesus are going home soon. The bad news is it's going to get a lot worse in this world, and we will see some of that, and that's really bad news for anybody who don't know Jesus. The other good news is we are going to have extra grace for this time. We were chosen to live in this time. Did y'all know that? And it is a very great honor to be chosen for this last hour. The Lord sends His best warriors to do the toughest jobs, I believe. So I want to give you some ideas with scriptural basis of how you can survive the insanity that has become our world. This world is not our home, y'all. We may have lives down here, but our real home is someplace far, far better. As Christians, we are told to set our affections on things above. The Lord does not want us fixated on what's down here, even on family and people we love. He must be first at all times, or you won't do very well in this time, okay? All right, so what do we know about what is yet to come? We know at least some of the things that are yet to come. We know war is coming. War will come to America, and it will come to other nations as well. But in America, it will actually come to our soil this time. Famine is coming, and it is also coming to America. Pestilence and plagues are coming. The Lord has told us they are coming. In fact, He told us, more than one of us, that the coronavirus was a preview. The Bible and Christianity will be outlawed. The Lord told me back in, it was like the year 2000 or something, that the Bible was going to be outlawed in America. Severe persecution, which will result in the martyrdom of many. Family members turning on each other. Matthew 24 talks about that. The rise of the Antichrist and the mark of the beast, without which you cannot buy or sell. The mark of the beast is basically giving your allegiance to Satan. Okay, it's saying, okay, I'm going to serve Satan and not God. I'm rejecting God and I'm accepting Satan. Okay, if you looked at the JPH site on Sunday, June 7th, you saw a word from April 19th, 2017, reposted, called America Will Fall. I had been looking at some of the old words. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, nothing this big happens that you don't tell us ahead of time. And I have found that the bigger the event, the further ahead He warns, okay? And He keeps warning. So I knew there had to be something back there, and I had been looking, but I had not found anything that really spelled it out for me. And I went to close some tabs on my laptop, and this one word was open, and I had not pulled up this word, and it was the only one on the page. When you do a search on my site with a word, like if you put in plagues, it'll pull up every word that has the word plagues in it, and they'll all go down this one screen. This word was pulled up by itself. I didn't pull it up. Nobody else was in my house. I don't know who else could have done it but the Lord. And it, I believe, really speaks to what's happening today. So I want to read this to y'all, because anybody that might not have access to the internet might not have seen it. It's called America Will Fall and was dated April 19, 2017. A great storm comes to the land of America. Oh, and the other reason I want to read this is because if He told us what's going on now, 3 years ago, then it's pretty, and it's happening, then it's safe to bet what else He told us is also going to come to pass. A great storm comes to the land of America, a storm that will bring much chaos and much indecision in high places. America is on the brink of war, but its general is not ready. Fires will burn across America, and much unrest shall abound. A people divided cannot stand, and the enemies of America will seize that moment to invade. America will fall to the hands of her enemies because she has turned her back on me and no longer has my protection. Prepare yourselves, my people, for war is coming to America and other countries as well. The end is upon you, for all of my words shall be fulfilled in this generation. You shall see the rise of the evil one, but you will be powerless to stop what must take place, that I may bring you home to me and cleanse this land. Be strong, be courageous, stand strong on your faith in me and do not turn from it, for this is the greatest danger. Fear not those who can kill the body, fear only the one who can kill both body and soul. Do not be afraid to profess my name, for I am with you when you do this, and I will be very merciful to you. I'm sure you all feel about as happy as I do about the thought of the rise of the Antichrist, which is, I'm sure, what he meant in this word. But as he said, we cannot change that. There's not a thing we can do about that. So what can we do something about? Mainly our response to all that is coming. So how exactly do you get through the end of the world? First, like in any other situation, look at what you can and cannot change. If you cannot change it, pass on that, go to the next item. We cannot change that the Antichrist will rise in our generation. And we know from the word what comes with him, a lot of lies and lying wonders that we will recognize for what they are, and we will likely watch as at least some people we know fall for those and take the mark of the beast, even as we beg and plead with them not to. And severe persecution also comes with him. We cannot change that either, other than to warn as many as we can now about what is coming, in a way that they will hopefully listen and remember in that time. We know the mark will come out and we will not be able to buy or sell anymore. Whatever we have then is what we have. We know war is coming. I think the war and the famine will probably run close together. We also know from the Word of God that the spirit of Elijah would come in the last days. Well, anywhere Elijah went, Jezebel went too. She still does that. Look around you. The spirit of Jezebel is rampant, evident in the bullying, the gang mentality, the I'm right and everybody else is wrong, the you wronged me, and that we see everywhere now. The pushing, the fit throwing, the tearing down of everyone who does not agree. And the Lord has clearly stated we are not to take part in any of that, no matter what you label it. The disciples were, as far as we know, not spared from all the suffering, but rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Easier said than done, and I'm sure it was easier said than done for them too. We know we are very close to our bridegroom's return, and we know in places the word shows a bridegroom coming at midnight for his bride. So we are staring down midnight, watching and praying right now. I want to share with you what I believe is a prophetic type and shadow of what is about to happen to us. This is just something the Lord gave me revelation about today. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. The world mocking them, telling people about Jesus just like it mocks us, y'all. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. We know from Matthew chapter 24 that we also will be delivered up and persecuted. We're already being mocked. That'll get worse. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, at midnight, y'all, this midnight for us, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Look how many people were saved through what Paul and Silas suffered. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officers, saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed, let them come themselves and get us out." And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard they were Romans. See, they didn't know Paul was Roman. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Okay, we are shown that at midnight, Paul and Silas were being wrongly accused and heavily persecuted, thrown into prison, and treated badly. What did they do? What did they do when all this happened to them? They prayed and they sang praises. This is our instruction, y'all. This is also a type and shadow. All they did was what God told them to do. They went about preaching. And they were wrong. They were accused of things they did not do, just like Jesus was. They were heavily persecuted. People mocking them, the girl following them and mocking that they were preaching about salvation. And they were thrown into prison and treated horrible. Beat up, beaten with rods so they had all these stripes on their back. And they went in there and prayed and sang praises. And their attitude was basically, "Hallelujah, we were counted worthy to suffer persecution for him, to suffer for his name." Many souls came into the kingdom of God in that one night because Paul and Silas did not run from persecution, but stood and boldly preached the word of God. And God himself sent an earthquake to bust open those prison doors to set them free to go preach some more. Many will be martyred, including here in America, for their faith. This is the greatest honor in all of heaven, to have laid down your life for your king. Do we not all serve at the pleasure of our king? We're not here to enjoy our lives. We are here to fulfill our purpose for his. Here's the really good news. The story of Stephen in Acts 7 tells us what happens if we're martyred. Y'all have heard me talk about this before if you've listened to me for very long. So, Stephen had just preached this very eloquent sermon, a just truly eloquent, long sermon. It's really beautiful. And then he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." I'm reading from the New King James. "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers, who have received by the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." Now, that's the same Saul that became Paul later. He defected to the good side. "And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." This is another reason you want to be in the Word every day, because eventually, as you apply yourself, it's easy to read the Bible through every year. It's really not hard at all. Eventually, as you apply yourself, the Lord will start to reveal things to you about what is coming and why you don't need to be afraid. Stephen was considered the first Christian martyr. We are told he's the first one we're told about. He prayed for the forgiveness of those who stoned him as they were stoning him, and the Lord put him into a deep sleep. So he didn't even feel the rest of the stones. He laid down, he took a nap, and then he was carried off to heaven. That's pretty good, I think. Don't y'all think that's good? He went immediately into the Lord's presence. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you are attacked and see you are going to be killed, keep confessing the name of Jesus and ask the Lord to forgive those who kill you, and you won't even feel it. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells many stories of those who were martyred, and it was clear they were in no pain whatsoever. So be encouraged. We have it much easier than Jesus had it on the cross. He suffered the whole weight of all the sin of all the world, so we wouldn't have to. Most of all, we must focus on standing boldly and refusing to deny Christ, just as they all did. That is what the Lord wants from us. Do not for 1 minute believe the lie circulating that you can take the mark when it comes out and then ask forgiveness, because the Bible very clearly says otherwise. Those who take the mark are going to hell, period, and they are staying there. They're going to the lake of fire. And if you want to know what hell is like, I recommend watching Bill Weiss's video on YouTube called 23 Minutes in Hell. You won't want any part of it. Revelation chapter 14. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." Revelation 13 talks about the second beast, the beast that rises from the earth. And it says, "And he deceives those who dwell in the earth by those signs," talking about the lying wonders, "which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell in the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." It almost sounds like that's a statue, and he puts some kind of demonic power into it where the statue acts like it's alive. That's really what that sounds like. And I'm sure I'm probably way off base, but he causes all, both small and great. And it says, "The image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." So I don't know how a statue or whatever does that, but "he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Okay. All right. Summary. Summary to instructions for walking through the end of the world. Number one, worship. Find you some worship songs that you really love. That when you find a really good worship song, you will be singing it to the Lord, or playing an instrument with it if you play instruments, to the Lord, or dancing to it, or however you worship. Okay. If you are fully in worship, you should feel his presence around you when you do that. I mean, as soon as you're totally focused on him, you should feel his presence right there for as long as you're totally focused on him. And how long that goes on really is up to you. Because if you break your focus, you won't feel it. There is nothing that is better than that feeling of worship and being in his presence. And I personally believe that is the secret place talked about in Psalm 91. Because nothing attacks you when you're there. When you're out here, you're doing something else, you're getting attacked, that can't be the secret place. Because in the secret place, we're safe and we can't be attacked. I believe worship is the secret place. Okay, so find you some worship songs that take you into the Lord's presence. Find a way that you can have those worship songs and be able to sing them or something when the grid goes and we don't have electricity anymore, when we don't have internet anymore, when everything falls apart. Try to set a way so that you can still worship, okay? So you can go into that secret place. Okay, find you some comforting Bible scriptures that really speak to you and make you feel peace when you speak them out loud. There was a time, I know I talked about this on one of my shows, I don't remember which one, back in, I don't know, 2014, 15, 16, sometime when I was living at the townhouse in Princeton, something was going on and I just needed some peace, and I grabbed my Bible and I opened it to Psalms, and I had a bunch of different verses in there that were highlighted, and I just started reading them out loud. And when I finished, it was about 30 minutes later, and I was at absolutely in peace. and I was not anxious. I wasn't afraid. Whatever it was I was afraid of or anxious about was completely gone. It just drove it out. Find you several good Bible verses that speak to you. Yours may be completely different than mine, but whatever makes you feel peace, write them on cards and memorize them. Put them someplace where you can memorize them. Okay? Use them for bookmarks in your Bible. Do whatever. Speak them out whenever you feel anxious or you feel fearful, especially about the end times. And get them down in your spirit by speaking them out. The more times you speak something out, the more imprinted it becomes on your mind and stuff. And then when you're feeling something, you can recall that without having to go find the card. Okay? That's the goal. Pray. If you don't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I highly, highly recommend it. You don't have to have someone lay hands on you to get that. We know this because in the book of Acts, it says that when all the people were in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit came in, there wasn't somebody laying hands on all those people that got that. So you can get the gift of tongues and the Holy Spirit without that. My mother got it without anybody laying hands on her. She was by herself in her house in Elk City, Oklahoma. This was after she and my dad had split, and it was, I think, 1981. She told me the story one time. And she really wanted it. My mother was so devoted. Her whole life was Jesus. I mean, it was just Jesus. And she really wanted that. And she did not belong to a church or anything at that point. And she got on her knees and she said, "Lord, I want that. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit." And she said, "I am not getting up off my knees until you give me that, because I'm supposed to be able to have it because your word says." And she stayed on her knees and kept praying and crying out. And he touched her and he gave it to her. And I heard her pray in tongues. She did have it. So he will answer you. If you seek him and you want something that the Bible shows you can have and that you need for your spiritual walk, and especially that you need for the end times, y'all, he's going to answer that. Just don't back down. You got to be persistent. Stay in front of the throne. You can't give up after 60 seconds with God. You got to have more patience than that. Okay? In prayer for anything, not just this, but for anything else, you just got to keep going back and saying, "Look, you got to make your case like you're going into a courtroom." I go before the Lord and I go, "Okay, Lord, I'm asking you for this, and your word says here, blah, 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 and it says here, blah, 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 so I think that it's okay for me to ask, and I think that you want to give me this because it's in your word, you know, whatever you, healing or whatever you need." Make your case, okay? Go before God, make your case. It actually is pretty fun. It's a challenge to find the verses and do that, and he answers. If you go to him with his word and quote his word back to you, he will answer you. Okay. Practice praising God no matter what's going on. Praise him for the bad stuff and the good, because if you'll do that, he'll bring good out of the bad. I'm serious. He will bring good out of whatever bad is happening. When you praise God for something bad, what he sees is he sees that you believe him to bring something good out of that, and then he will do that. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Pray to be counted worthy to escape these things that are to come, but know that you may not. Meaning, God's plan may be to bring you to a higher reward, but know that he's with you no matter what, and if you are martyred, you won't feel it. Y'all, if ISIS or whoever comes and takes me, I'm going to be screaming for everybody to give their hearts to Jesus all the way to wherever. Be the light wherever anyone takes you in that time. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you, because you may be put with somebody who does not have a clue for that very reason. Be bold in those last hours. Set your face like flint. Set your heart to make him proud of you, to make that great cloud of witnesses cheer up on high. Submit to his refining. Those who don't are the ones who are going to be left behind to the worst of this, okay? Submit to his refining. I talked about that last week and what that looks like. Be in the word. Look at Acts. Read Acts. Read Revelation. It tells you what is coming. Read Matthew chapter 24. It tells us what is coming. That's all I have for y'all this week. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. I hope y'all have a great week. Don't be afraid. Just be prepared. He's given us everything we need in his word to get through what's coming. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. you can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?